Let us pray. O Lord our God, thou who art the God of all truth and righteousness, thou who art the Holy One who inhabits eternity, we know that you made us and you have a word for us. We are dependent upon you for life, both natural and spiritual. And we ask that as you speak to us now, give to us the hearing ear and the understanding heart and the willingness to obey your call. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, this is a first time for me, being not here, but here. And it may be from now on I'll have to adjust myself, and if I'm invited either here or somewhere else, I'll just have to be content to sit at the little table. This morning, the title of our message is, What Do We Do Now? I've thought a lot about this particular theme, the question for us as individuals and as a congregation. And that causes me to break off for a moment or two to thank whoever was responsible for the words of the welcome to me this morning. I do appreciate that so very much. Yes, as I thought about this service and the situation we are in and the situation that we have come through and are going through toward the future, I thought, surely this must be a message for the people of St. Paul's at this time. And the message begins with this particular question. What do we do now? Well, we have been doing many things. And I think that this question does come through our minds this morning, because looking at the past, yes, that has been taken care of. But now, what about this present moment? And we are having our business meeting very soon, and we would all like to know, what are we to do now? What's the next step for us in St. Paul's? And I speak not as a stranger coming in to take the service for you, but as one of you. I belong here. I've been here for quite a while. And I'm thankful to God that I am one of you, because someone said to me once, I don't know what I had been doing, you are a blessing to us. But likewise, you people have been a blessing to me and to my wife, Betty. And so we come this morning. What does God require of us at this time? And I will come to answer this in the course of the message. Yes, we have come a long way, I have written, in this process of change. And much has been done. Those responsible for leadership and management have worked exceedingly hard, giving of their time and their talents. And for what they've done, and for the people themselves, we are saying, thanks be to God. Yes, they have. But my task this morning is to tell you something more. Yeah. Something more is required of us. And what is that something that is required of us now? Before we take another step in this time of transition, it has nothing to do with the building. It has nothing to do with the place God has appointed for us to go to when we leave here. It's about you, and it is about me. It's about our lives. What are we to do now? The answer to that, friends, is in two simple words: submission and surrender. Now, I have noted here that these particular words are not often heard nowadays in some of our churches and in some of the preaching and even in the prayers, that God requires his children to be submissive to him and give their lives in surrender to him. Now, all the other things that have been done were absolutely necessary and had to be done, and I believe they've been done well to bring us up to this point. But we must not go further until we are sure that each one of us has given ourselves, our lives, over completely to the Lord our God. The hymn writer puts it well when he says, "In full and glad surrender, I give myself to thee." Yes, the giving of ourselves to God and his Son. The Father gave the Son of God to us, and Christ gave himself for us. And the Holy Spirit, now in the present time, when we come to worship or have our own personal devotions, the Holy Spirit is there giving himself to us. These truths may perhaps be quite new to some of you, but these truths are vitally important and are an integral part of the Christian message. Yes, we are the children of a giving, giving, giving God. And having been made in his own image, we have the capacity within ourselves and the freedom to give ourselves back to the one who gave us life. Someone has said it's to understand God is impossible. To worship God is imperative. But to surrender to God is what he requires of us. And it is what we need to do, friends, and do it now. On this, we must never procrastinate. It is urgent both for us individually as a congregation to ensure a strong, healthy, and useful future. For me, it's necessary. I must not procrastinate on this. And for all of us as a congregation to come to the point, and sometimes people struggle with this. I suppose in my own experience, I have had some struggles at some times of surrendering my whole life. But you say, but you were ordained to the ministry. Yes. But it doesn't follow, you know, that if a person, man or woman, is ordained to ministry, it doesn't follow that that person is utterly and completely given over to God, to be controlled by God, to be guided by God, to be helped by God. We have to give our all in order that He might then fill us with His fullness. And this might kind of make some of us uneasy, because you don't know yet what's involved in surrender to God. I tell you, it's the very best thing that could ever happen to me or to you. And I hope that everyone is listening so carefully, not because I am preaching this morning, but because this is a message I have been given to deliver to St. Paul's at this time in our experience together. We go on to look at the scriptures, and we see Abraham coming out there, a very noble character in his 70s. We heard it read for us a little while ago. And he is one of the examples to show us how right and how necessary it is for us in our time, in our life, to take that further step and give ourselves, yes, consciously, personally, quietly, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And we will be singing that hymn at the end of the service. What about Abraham? We read there that the Lord spoke to him and said, get thee out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, get out, and I will take you to a land that you don't know anything about. Let me be personal at the moment, because this passage means something for me and for Betty. When we began to think in 1962, we were in our second charge in Scotland, and an uncle had come over from Canada. He was himself a minister, and he was over for his mother's funeral, and he took me aside one day and he said, Billy, we are in need of ministers in Canada. Would you ever think of coming over? I said, never thought of it, Uncle George, never. But as time went by and we prayed about it, I found myself reading this story of Abraham. Get thee out of your country to a land that I will show thee. And I found myself at that point where I, yes, willingly, I said, Lord, we will go. We'll leave mother and father and brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts and uncles and our home church. We'll leave everything behind, and with our two little girls will go. There is more to that story, friends, and I would like to tell you more some other time. But here is Abraham at the point where he surrendered. God spoke. Abraham heard, and Abraham obeyed. For it says here that Abraham went as the Lord had commanded him. Do you think this is strong preaching? I feel it is. I feel it's necessary for us. I do it to help our congregation forward with a people that are given over to God, and in whose life the will of God is done, where we set aside our self-will and say, God's will. I want all of that done in my life. There's another example in Isaiah, but I won't touch upon it this morning. But we'll go to the one read for us, and it is the example par excellence. There's no other one to compare with the example of Jesus. What did Jesus do in Gethsemane? He was confronted with a choice. In his prayer and his agony and his sweat, we've never been there. But there in Gethsemane, you remember how he said, "If it's possible, Father, let this cup of suffering pass from me. I really don't want to go any further." No. "Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." That was one of the points at which we see Jesus surrendering his life to the will of God in order to become the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world and thereby accomplish our salvation. The Christian life was never intended to be a bed of roses. The Christian life is meant to be a life in which we listen to God, listen to him, and obey him, and let him have his way in our lives. I have far, far too much material here, and I won't use it all. But let me leave you now with three names. We have looked at Jesus and Abraham. We look at our own lives and see ourselves in a similar situation in which Abraham found himself and Jesus. But the three names I have, I'll mention them to you quickly. And these are examples of this from church history. The first one is a man by the name of William Carey. He was a cobbler and a shoemaker in England. He lived from 1761 to 1834. He lived a life similar to the lives that you and I live here. He became a school teacher by educating himself. He became a Baptist minister with further education. Then, through prayer and his own Bible reading, he knew that God was calling him to leave his homeland of England and to take Christ's gospel of love and saving grace to the land of India. He became a professor of Indian languages and a teacher. He surrendered himself and his gifts to God. Hudson Taylor, 1832 to 1905, he went to China from Yorkshire. He and his wife in the early 30s, they were in their early 30s, and we read in his biography that they left all to follow the call of God and to take the message of salvation of Christ, the Christ to whom he had surrendered his life as a young man. And he established the world-renowned China Inland Mission. Soon after he arrived, his wife died. Not long after that, then, his little child died. And by his own hands and a spade, he dug their grave and buried them. And then he returned to England, a broken man. But he didn't give in or give up. After recuperating, he went out again and took some more young people with him to be missionaries of Christ to China. The last one is David Livingstone. And those of us who have Scottish connections and always have a feeling of pride about David Livingstone, from Scotland to Africa, 1813 to 1873, and only at the age of 60 years he died in search of the headwaters of the River Nile. He was of humble birth, from Blantyre in Lanarkshire, and he again was self-educated, working in the cotton mill for 12 hours a day, starting when he was 10 years of age. But again, here was a man with courage and faith and strength and purpose, and he surrendered his life. I know I'm emphasizing, friends, but this is so, so necessary. He surrendered his life and let God have his way. And he was sent to Africa, not only as a Christian missionary, but as a medical missionary, because he took courses in medical science at that time in Glasgow University for 6 years and came out with the medical degree. And with all his equipment, with all his talents, with all his love for Christ and the gospel, he went out to Africa. Now, we are not like Hudson Taylor or David Livingstone or William Carey. No, no, but we are still God's children. We may have had a conversion experience long ago, and that's good, but that's not the end of Christian experience. That's the beginning, leading us on to surrender of our lives. I've met people who would come to my vestry in Scotland and here in Ontario after a service. Did not preach this. This was prepared just new for you today. But people would come to me and talk about these things. And I remember one man saying, "That is all very well, Pastor Baird. I'm not ready for that. I'm not prepared to take the step and make the decision to give my life over to God." Some years later, I met him. I said, "How is it with you now, John?" He said, "I have to tell you that I've struggled with this matter for a long time, but just 2 months ago, I dropped to my knees in my bedroom, and I said, 'Lord, this has to be it. No longer do I resist you, but I yield to your spirit, and I give my life in surrender to you.'" May God add his blessing to the preaching of his word, and to his name be the glory and praise. We'll sing the closing hymn, words written by Frances Ridley Havergal, died at 42 years of age. And there's a great story, and I believe that online you can get more information on any one of these characters. But this is what she said. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to me. I'm going to take this opportunity to make this for myself at this time in my life. I'm going to surrender my life again to my Lord and my Master, so that in this place I might be of more use to him. And we'll all move forward, stronger than ever, into a better and happier future for St. Paul's. Amen.